Once upon a time, there was a bunch of loving steamboat community. Even though they were so different, they came together in perfect harmony.
I will never leave you!
Why are you so corny, like me?
It's so cold!
That's because you're so skinny, my dear! Come here, let me wrap you up with my love.
Oh. You know, I don't usually look like this.
I know, right? Those were the days when we were all so young and vibrant in colors.
Yeah, it was a tough journey for all of us. I don't think many people will understand how much processing we have gone through.
At least, I'm glad we share the same experience, my friends.
Then one day, a new member appeared in their midst. This is Tiger Prawn. He is big, black-faced, and pokey. He is shut up because he doesn't have many friends. He feels out of place and different from everyone else.
I didn't mean to look this way. Maybe I just don't belong here. I guess I'm gonna go on my own way.
But little did Tiger Prawn know that this bunch of loving steamboat community is one that loves one another.
We love you, Tiger Prawn!
Yeah, we love one another here!
And remain together! Because we are all
better together! Good morning, people who are here in Axis. And good morning to all our friends who are watching this from the West and the Northeast Center. And if you are visiting our service for the very first time today, whether you are here in Axis or in our different centers, you are a special guest. We want to welcome you, and we're so glad that you're able to join us today. And for those of you who are watching this from all over the world, we are so happy that you're able to join us online. You know, friends, we are just 1 week away from the Lunar New Year. How many of you here love the Lunar New Year? Show of hands, how many of you love the Lunar New Year? You know, and since we love you so much, we are not going to have a worship service next Sunday morning, okay? So I'm going to take this opportunity to wish all of you who will be celebrating the Lunar New Year a happy and blessed Lunar New Year. Okay, and for those of you who will be traveling, have a safe trip and have a wonderful time with your loved ones. You know, for many of us, I know that Lunar New Year is a big celebrative event of the year. You know, for me, I just enjoy the Lunar New Year so much. I just love celebrating the Chinese New Year. You know, as a child, the Lunar New Year will mean that I get a few days off from school, that I also get to wear new clothes and new shoes, and also get to eat the New Year cookies. I'm sure many of you love New Year cookies as well, but watch your waistline as you eat it, okay? And not to forget collecting angpaos, red packets, as I follow my parents as we go for Lunar New Year visitation. But as I grow older, I discover that things like new clothes, new shoes, and even New Year cookies no longer excite me anymore. From receiving angpao, I have progressed on to giving out angpao. So even though many things have changed, you know, one thing that has always remained a highlight for me in Lunar New Year is the reunion dinner. The reunion dinner is especially meaningful to me, because it is a time where I get to spend time, I get to catch up with family members whom I have not seen for a while already. And I really treasure this time together with my family. While we may expect that it's normal for members of the same family to be close to one another, this is often not true in reality. If you look around at the society, we can often find families whereby fathers, they do not talk to their children, or they cannot get along with their children. We can find families whereby siblings, they do not talk to one another. We can find different kinds of families around with different problems, and we see from news that family members, they quarrel and fight over inheritance, even taking one another to court. You know, I know of an elderly couple from the dialect service. Both their children are overseas, are residing overseas. So last year, when the father contracted cancer, and had to go for an operation, the children did not even come back to visit him. So we can see that natural families all over this world, they are failing, they are breaking apart because of various reasons. And this is the result of sin in our life. So how can the church offer something that's better to this world? You know, the church, we are called to be the body of Christ. We are the spiritual family. And we are made up of people who are very different. We come from different walks of life. We come from different family backgrounds. We have people of different social status. We have different nationalities in the community. We have different races in the community. We make up people of different ages. But despite all these differences, it is the precious blood of Jesus that binds us together as one big family. You know, church, we are also called to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And we are to show the glory of God to our community by how we love God and by how we love one another. If we are honest with ourselves, it is not uncommon to find disagreements and conflicts in churches. Churches split because of disagreement. People left church because of disappointment, because of unmet expectations. And we can see this happening in even the best church communities all around us. So hurts were nursed. Conflicts were often left unresolved with no proper closure. And at times, the cause of this conflict can be because of sin. But even if it does not, over time, unresolved conflict will lead to unforgiveness and sin itself. And sadly, all these divisions in churches have affected the unity of the church. It is just not easy for us to love one another when there is human sin. But yet, God expects and instructs those who belong to Him to love one another. So how can the church community live out this God's command to love one another when we are facing so much of all this disagreement, conflicts, that's happening to even the best church communities? How can we, as a church, stand together in love and in unity to live out the victory that Jesus has won for us? Stay with us as we unpack all this in the brand new two-part sermon series called Better Together. So in the first part of the series, I will take all of us through to explore what it means to be being in a community in love. And after we come back from our Lunar New Year holidays, we are going to continue with the second part of the series where we will explore winning together in God's love. So the title of my message today is Better Together. And the scripture is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to verse 21. So if you have a Bible with you, you can have a Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 19 to verse 21. If you do not have a Bible, you can refer to the verses that we flash in the screen behind me. We're going to read these three verses together in one voice, verse 19 to verse 21. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord before we continue. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this time. Thank You for gathering us here under the authority of Your word. Lord, I pray that You will speak to us, that You will teach us and correct our behavior today, that You will allow Your word to just speak to our hearts so that it brings about changes and transformations to our behavior as well. Lord, we do not want to be just hearers of Your word, but make us to be doers of Your word. Lord, we commit this time of learning into Your hands. We ask that You bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people shall say, Amen. Amen. Let me start by giving you a brief background of the scripture that we just read on the book of 1 John so that we are able to understand scripture in its entire context. You know, the book of 1 John is a letter written by the Apostle John in his latter years when he was staying in the city of Ephesus. So he wrote this letter to address certain issues that were affecting the churches around the city of Ephesus. At the time, there were false teachers in the city of Ephesus, in the churches of Ephesus, and they were teaching the people that the physical matter is evil and the spirit is good. So anything that's got to do with the human body is evil, and anything that's got to do with the spirit is good. Such a kind of teaching is known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism. And this teaching is a major threat, or was a major threat to the churches in the early days. Because these teachings cast doubt on the work and the person of Jesus Christ. It denied the true humanity of Jesus. And to make matters worse, the false teachers, they have a lack of love within them, and they were teaching their followers to be separated from the rest of the believers. So as a result of this false teachings and division, there were confusion, there were disagreement in the churches over there. So believers, they were confused about whether or not they are safe, whether or not the gospel that they heard about is true. So the Apostle of John wrote this letter, first of all, to correct the wrong teachings, and secondly, to assure the believers of their salvation. So John argues that one of the hallmarks of a true Christian is their love. Love for God and love for one another. And John devoted an entire section in 1 John chapter 4 to talk about this love. You know, the word love and its various form appear more than 30 times in 18 verses from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to chapter 5, verse 3. Today, we are going to zoom in and focus on the three verses that we have just read. And we are going to learn three aspects of this love. You know, as Christians, we are forgiven sinners. But even then, our human love is still limited. When it comes to conflicts, a lot of times we are tempted to just want to insist on things our own ways. We just want to think that we are the only right party. So, we are also, so in conflicts, we have the temptation to think of all these things. And we also face hurts, disappointments, and even betrayals in the church community. So despite all this, how can we live and remain in this community and yet obey God's command to love one another? You know, the Apostle John explains to us that in order for us to remain in a community that lives in God's love, the first thing that we need to do is to recognize that it is God's love that enables us to love one another. God's love enables us to love one another. Verse 19 says this, we love because He first loved us. The we here refers to believers in Christ, and the He here refers to God. So basically, John is saying that as believers, we are able to love one another because God first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So John tells us here in this verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that God is the source of love, and love comes from God. And by telling us that God first loved us, he's telling us that God's love is not a response of our love for God, that God's love is not a response of our obedience to God as well, but God first loved us. Even before we came into a relationship with God, God demonstrated His love for us by sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. God loved us even when we were still sinners. So this love from God is different from human love. Human love is often conditional. That's why we hear people saying things like, oh, I love this person because this person is very nice to me. Oh, I love this person because this person is able to make me feel happy, is able to make me laugh. But God's love, on the other hand, is unconditional. We do not have to do anything to earn God's love. In fact, there's nothing that we can do to win God's love. God just loves us freely. Another thing about human love is largely dependent on our feelings and emotions. That's why you will hear people saying things like, oh, I cannot love this person because I don't feel anything. Or it's not possible for me to love this person because I don't like this person. But God's love, on the other hand, is more than just feelings. God's idea of love is a decision to seek the good and the interests of another person, regardless of how we may feel. So God is the source of love. He's the initiator of love. And our human love is a response to His divine love because God first loved us. Because God first loved us, we are able to love others, even strangers, not by how we feel, but by actions. And because God first loved us, our love can rest upon something that is greater and stronger than our own personal power. And this should be the basis of God's call for us to love one another. That we are not doing this on our own human effort, but we are able to do this because God's love enables us to do it. Over here, I need to say that I'm not saying that only Christians can love one another. In fact, I've known some non-Christians who have shown more love than some Christians. And this is possible because we are all created in the image of God. Whether you are Christians or not a Christians, we are all created in the image of God, and God is love. So whether you're Christian or non-Christians, we will have an element of that love within us. And God's love is also being, and God's grace is also being extended to non-Christians as well. But the thing about this is, human love, it is always limited. If we do not draw from the source of love, our love will always be limited and is easily exhausted. But when we receive Jesus into our life, the Bible tells us that God pour out His love into our heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms our heart to enable us to love others. That is the love that can only come from God. And that is the love that can help us to love others beyond our natural. You know, as we live and interact in a diverse church community such as this, we are going to come across people who are very different from us. Perhaps there are some people here, you really don't like some people in your life groups. You don't have to raise your hands, okay? Perhaps for some of you, you are finding it hard to get along with some people in church because they are just so hard to get along with. And perhaps for some of you, you may be even irritated by some people in your life group, by their behaviors. I've even heard people saying things like, I do not want to be in the same life group as certain people. How can this be? If the God of love is within us, how can this be in our community? If you're finding it difficult to love people, if you're finding it hard to love people who are difficult, the solution to this is not telling ourselves that we must try harder to love. We have learned today that it is God's love that enables us to love one another. So when you are finding it, when you're struggling to love someone, the solution is not whipping ourselves and tell ourselves, we must love harder, we must try harder, we must love this person more. But the thing that we have to do is to come back to God. We need to come back, we need to return to the source of love because God is love. We need to return to the source of love, we need to return to God. Have you been so busy with other things in life that you have neglected spending time with God, coming into His presence just to be with Him? Today, God is telling you, just to put aside all other things, put aside all other distractions, and come into His presence. To really be reminded of God's love in our lives that how much God has loved us and how much He has poured out His love to all of us. And allow that love to enable us to love people who are different from us, to love people who are difficult, to love people who are not easy to love. You know, I've always been so encouraged by our Shine ministry. It is a ministry that reaches out to our friends with special needs. For those of you who have interacted with people with special needs before, you know that it is not easy to love them. Some of them, they are not able to express themselves fully. Some of them, they are not able to reciprocate the love that you've shown to them. So it is really not easy to love them. It takes a lot of patience to love these people. And our Shine volunteers, they have been so consistent in showing that love to our special friends. And their love even extends beyond our special friends to their family members as well. You know, there was one occasion whereby the mother of a special friend fell sick. Her name is Auntie Wendy. So Auntie Wendy is a single mom who has to look after her special needs son. And her son is quite strong and requires her constant care all the time. So it's really not easy for Auntie Wendy. So one day, one of our Shine volunteers, his name is Nigel. So Nigel received news that Auntie Wendy actually coughed out blood and she was suffering from a severe headache. So after settling all his work stuff, Nigel rushed down to be with Auntie Wendy. Yeah, there's Nigel there, and Auntie Wendy is the one in the center. So he was soon followed by the other Shine volunteers. So when they reached their place, they brought Auntie Wendy and her son to the polyclinic. So at the polyclinic, they waited at the polyclinic, and the doctor saw Auntie Wendy, and the doctor referred them to go to a hospital. So Nigel and the team, they then brought Auntie Wendy and her son to the hospital. They waited in the hospital for the doctor to see Auntie Wendy. They waited in the hospital for the X-ray results to be out. All this while, Nigel and his team of volunteers, they stayed throughout together with Auntie Wendy and her son, looking after them and making sure that everything was all right. At the end, the doctor did not find anything major, so they say that they can go home. So Nigel and his team then brought Auntie Wendy and her son back home. And by the time they settled them down and it's time to say goodbye, it was already past 1 a.m. in the morning. And this was what Nigel said. Loving people is already not an easy task that God wants us to do. But when God put a burden in my heart to serve in Shine and love His children with special needs, I knew that this was something that I had to do. It wasn't easy at first, but when I saw our special friends jumping, singing, raising their hands to praise and worship God at the services, I'm just so touched by God's love for them, and I'm encouraged to keep fighting against all odds, to love them the way Jesus loved. Wow, what an encouraging story. Let's thank God for Nigel and the Shine Ministry. You know, God's love truly enables us to love one another. Even people who are very different from us, even people who are difficult to get along with and are not easy to love. And this is the first thing that we can learn. The second thing that we can learn about remaining in the community that lives in God's love is this: that we love God by loving one another. We love God by loving one another. And it comes from verse 20. May we have verse 20, please? It says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." So after telling us in verse 19 that it's God's love that enables us to love one another, the Apostle John then turned his attention to address the lack of love within the church. So on the one hand, this group of false teachers, they claim that they love God. But on the other hand, they were leading their own followers to cut off fellowship with the other believers. And John describes this behavior as hatred. John even goes to the extent of calling these false teachers out as liars. Because there's just no way that they can claim that they love God whom they have not seen, and yet they do not love their brothers and sisters whom they can see. You know, when we love someone, other people can often tell that it is true by looking at how we relate this with this person. You know, for example, if I say that I love my wife, people around will know that it is true that I really love my wife by seeing how I relate with her, that I really am physically close to her, that I spend time with her, I care for her, I enjoy doing things with her. But when it comes to God, we cannot see God, right? How many of you have seen God before? So we cannot see God. So it is easy for us to say that we love God, and there's really no way for us to show it, unless you are like Pastor Jeff. You know, he loved God so much that he hugs the cross. If it's a smaller cross, I think he will carry the cross and hug it everywhere he goes. So it is not easy to tell that we love God. But John is essentially telling us that if we truly love God and we truly have a genuine fellowship with God, then God's love, God will transform our heart and cause us to be more loving. And this will show up in the way we relate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we can all, in a worship service like this, we can all raise our hands and sing in the worship service at the top of our voice how much we love God. You know, we can sing, I love you, Lord, greater than anything, I love you, Lord. More than my heart can sing, I love you, Lord. More than I love myself, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You know, you can sing all this at the top of your voice. You can raise your hands and claim your love for God. And at the end of the service, you see a brother walking towards you. And this brother is someone whom you have a disagreement with some weeks ago. And then you just turn away and walk in the opposite direction. You just want to avoid this brother and have nothing to do with this person. If this is you, John is calling you out as a liar. Because God expects us to love Him by loving one another. We just cannot sing and claim that we love God and yet behave in another way towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, John's concern here is not about our attempt to love, but it's about our complete unwillingness to love and to reconcile. So you may have tried to love, you may have tried to reconcile your relationship with this person, and you have failed. That is fine. But if you have not even tried, if you have not even taken the first step to try to reconcile, to try to love, then John is calling you out as a liar. Because the love of God cannot be in you. You know, the reality of a church community is that it is not perfect. Just like any communities that are out there, our community is not perfect because it consists of imperfect people like you and me. We rub one another against the wrong way. We have conflict with one another. We have a disagreement with one another. And some of us may have gotten hurt in the process. Perhaps for some of you, you may have been hurt because of some insensitive remarks made on you. Perhaps for some of you, you may have been hurt because of some unmet expectations. Perhaps for some of you, you may have been hurt because someone accused you of something that you did not do, and you're feeling so unjustified. Some of you may feel betrayed because your Christian spouse cheated on you. Some of you may even have been hurt by leaders as they handle and manage certain issues in your life. Very often in church, conflicts were left unresolved. And there is always a temptation to continue to harbor the wrongs and to nurse hatred. Many times we just take the easy way out by avoiding contact, just doing whatever we can. As long as I don't come into contact with this person, I'm fine. But today, God is telling you that you need to address the root issue. You know, God has demonstrated to us on how a broken relationship with Him can be restored by us coming before God, confessing our sin, and by God granting forgiveness to us. And this is only made possible because the death of Jesus on the cross took away the punishment for our sins. In the same way, if we want to restore our broken relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters, we need to come before them, confess our sins to them, and they have to grant us forgiveness. James chapter 5 verse 16 tells us to confess our sins to one another and to pray for one another. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So if you have broken relationships with the brothers and sisters in the church, God is speaking to you. Take the first step to seek reconciliation, especially if you have never taken the step to ask for forgiveness, to seek reconciliation before. Even if you think that you are not in the wrong, you can always take the first step to initiate reconciliation, to seek forgiveness. You know, when we are able to seek and release forgiveness on one another, we reflect the love of Jesus in the community. And understand that this may not always be an easy thing to do. You know, some of the hurt, they are so deeply seated that it has wounded us very badly that it's really not easy to release forgiveness. That's when you really have to come before God and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We have to come to the right understanding of God's love and God's forgiveness for us. That God has chosen to forgive us even though we have hurt Him. So essentially, we are no different from the person who have hurt us. We are all in need of God. We are all in need of God's love and His forgiveness. We are no better. We have all done wrong things that we needed forgiveness for. So we have to come and ask God to help us to release the forgiveness, to truly experience the love and the grace of God in our life. You know, when we are able to fully embrace the love and the forgiveness of God, then we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to lay down our pride, to lay down our rights, just to seek reconciliation and ask for forgiveness. I know for some of us who are leaders here, we may have knowingly or unknowingly hurt the people in our leading. As the Holy Spirit reveals this incident to us, let's be humble to just ask for forgiveness and to seek reconciliation. Now, this is a bit like parents asking for forgiveness from the children whom they may have hurt. Let's not have the attitude that just because of our role as parents or as leaders, we cannot be the first to say sorry. We cannot be the first to ask for forgiveness. In the bottom line, we are all not perfect. And we are still growing and we are still learning in our journey. You know, I remember this incident that happened to me some time back. I was having a conversation with my wife, and she was sharing about this incident that happened to my youngest son at a swimming pool some years ago when he was about 4 to 5 years old. So at the time, I took my son, my youngest son, swimming at the swimming pool. So when we arrived at the swimming pool, I just put him at the shallow end of the pool. And then I must have been distracted, and I went ahead to do some of my own things. And at that moment, my son was left alone at the shallow end of the swimming pool. And because he couldn't swim, he was feeling so helpless. And at the moment, he felt that he was like abandoned by his father. So the incident caused a lot of pain and hurt within him. You know, when my wife told me this incident, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Because I honestly couldn't remember this thing in my head. But after the initial denial and say, hey, are you sure this thing happened? I realized that I needed to do something. Because it has affected my son so much that he remembers this even after so many years. I knew that I have to make right with him. So I walked to his room. I sat down beside him and I say, son, your mom just shared with me this incident that happened to you at the swimming pool some years ago. I mean, to be honest, Daddy really cannot remember that this ever happened. But I'm sorry that it has caused you so much pain and so much hurt. You are my son, and I will never abandon you. I love you so much, and you are my precious son. I'm sorry for causing you so much pain and hurt. Would you please forgive Daddy? So he said yes. Thank God he said yes. And we then took the next moment to just pray for one another. So friends, as a community that lives in God's love, we can love one another by forgiving one another. This is God's expectation of us. If God's love is in us, let's ask God to help us to reconcile the broken relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in the church. So we have learned so far that in order for us to remain in a community that lives in God's love, first of all, we have to know that it's God's love that enables us to love one another. And secondly, we know and we have learned that we love God by loving one another. And the third thing that we can learn from the verse here is that it is God's command to love one another, that God commands us to love one another. In verse 21 here, it says, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You know, the Apostle John, he knows that as human, we will all come up with our excuses for our lack of love. Some of you, may even be thinking about that excuse right now, and you'll be saying, Pastor, I've tried all my best, but it's just impossible to love this person. Or some of you may be even saying, Pastor, if only you know what this person did to me, you will understand, you will surely understand why it is not possible to love this person. So John, the Apostle John, knows that we're going to come up with all these excuses. So he sums it all up and tells us that loving one another is a commandment from God. It is not just a nice idea. It is not just a good suggestion. And because pastor have to preach something, let's pluck out something, let's talk about love. But it is a commandment that comes from God himself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. John chapter 13, verse 34, to 35 says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Verse 35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's go back to verse 21 here. Verse 21. John wrote, and God has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. By using the word must, John is telling us that love is not just an emotional feeling. It is an intentional effort. There has to be an effort on our part to want to obey this command. And also the present tense loves, anyone who loves God. So this shows that it is an ongoing effort. It's not just a once-off decision or one-time kind of obeying. But it is a continuous effort, an ongoing effort for us to obey this command to love one another. And the fact that God, and the fact that loving God and loving others can be commanded, tells us that this is more than just an emotional feeling. Love takes effort, and love is action. Love takes effort, and love is action. Loving others requires us to just take our focus away from ourselves so that we can focus on others and with God in mind. You know, I know many of us here, we have that ideal church in our mind. And because we are so different, we bring our personal preferences, we bring our personal liking. We have our own way of thinking of how an ideal church should be like. We have our own preferences on how a worship service should be run. And sometimes, we allow our preferences to affect the other members in the community. It may make them feel uncomfortable, or at worst, some may even feel annoyed by our preferences and by our liking. Perhaps there are some of you here, you really don't like certain things about our church. And I'm okay, I'm sure Pastor Jeff is okay, because we are not perfect. Some of you here may not like certain things about our church. Some of you, you may say things like, oh, the praise and worship music is too loud. I prefer something softer, more ministering. Oh, the praise and worship songs, they are too fast. They are so unfamiliar. I prefer older songs. I prefer more familiar songs. Some of you may even think, feel like this, oh, the praise and worship song is not fast enough. I have a lot of energy. I want to praise God. I prefer to sing faster songs. Or some of you, there may be some of you who may even be thinking, oh, why do I have to wake up so early to come to church? Now with online service, I can just stay at home. I prefer to stay at home, in fact, in the comfort of my home to watch the online services. So how does obeying God's command to love one another look like in such a community? Are we willing to adjust our own preferences, our own liking, so that we are able to accommodate others and to love them? Are we willing to take the extra effort to get to know people who are different from you, instead of just stereotyping them and dismissing them? Instead of saying comments like, oh, these young people, strawberry generation, cannot take hardship one. And then the young people will say, okay, boomer, whatever you say. But inside their heart, they are actually thinking, hey, these old people are very irrelevant. Move so slowly, still using Facebook. It's fine, I'm still using Facebook also. Are we willing to make an extra effort to wake up early, to come for service, because I value the fellowship in this community? You know, obeying the command to love one another requires us to put the focus not on ourselves, but on other people. Not on meeting our own preferences, our own liking, but on others and how we can love them. You know, 2 weeks ago, I attended the Love Singapore Summit together with the pastor's team. And during the summit, something that an older pastor said really struck me. You know, he was sharing how the younger worship leaders in his church, they were starting to sing more contemporary worship songs. And even though he was uncomfortable with it, he was willing to adjust himself to accept it. And this was what he said that struck me. He says that as parents, we will do whatever we can for the best of our children. So why can't I adjust my preferences for the next generation? Wow, I have nothing to say. This is what loving one another in the community is all about. When we are able to focus not on ourselves, but on others, when we are willing to die to our own preferences, to lay down our own likings, when we value the fellowship in the community more than our own comfort and convenience, we will start to grow in our love for one another. We will start to grow in unity in spite of our diversity. You know, friends, belonging in a community is not just about doing all the nice things together. It's not just about enjoying the nice food together or wearing the same T-shirt during conference or greeting one another when you come for service or in gatherings. You know, I'm not saying that these things are bad. In fact, they are good and they help to foster the relationship in the community. But there is more. We need to grow together as a community in our love for God, in our love for one another. Now, today we have learned that love is more than just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It requires intentional effort. And this is not always easy. There will always be people who will be different from us. There will always be people who will be difficult. There will always be people who are not easy to love. But God did not give us a command to love one another without giving us the resources. God's love, we have learned today that God's love enables us to love. God's love enables us to love. He has provided us with a power, with an ability to love because He first loved us. Let's remember that we have won. The victory of Jesus on the cross enables us to overcome differences. The victory of Jesus on the cross enables us to overcome prejudices. The victory of Jesus on the cross enables us to overcome unforgiveness, to overcome bitterness. And because of the victory of Jesus on the cross, we can just come before Him and you say, Lord, there's no way we can do it. There's no way I can do it on my own human strength. I need You. I need the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Come and help me lay down my pride. Come and help me lay down my rights so that I can make things right, so that I can initiate reconciliation, so that I can seek forgiveness. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us put aside our personal preferences, to put aside our personal liking, so that we can start to accommodate one another and to love one another. You know, as we continue to grow in God's love for God and for one another, we begin to grow in our unity in the community. And the world will know that we belong to God. We have something better to offer in this world. And that is the love of God. As we continue to remain in Christ, in the love of God, the love within this community will overflow from our community to reach and touch the rest of the world. With that, may I just invite all of us to put aside our writing materials.